Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to get together with all these wonderful people out there that are like-minded believers, Father. And I just praise you for your anointing upon each one of us, Lord. And in this group tonight, Father, we ask for your direction, your guidance, wisdom, and your understanding and your discernment, Father. We need more of all of that, Lord. We need more of it, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon us tonight as we talk about the glories that you have bestowed upon us, Lord, and the praises we sing and we talk about are all for you, Lord, and nothing that we can do without you, Lord. And that's becoming more evident every day that there ain't nothing that we can do, Father, without you that's going to be any good, that will come of any good at all. And I thank you, Lord, that you're keeping our mind and our eyes focused on you, Father, during the days ahead. And we praise you for it, and we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request to start out with here?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Terry.
I have a friend named Valerie, and she has a whole lot of pain in her left arm. And I think she went to go get an x-ray today. I went and prayed for her today. And she is really trying to believe in healing, but she's never been healed before. And so I just want to have everybody put their faith with mine that she will be healed.
Amen. Go right ahead.
All right. Lord God, I thank you so much for the time that I got to spend with her today and for her opening up her heart about rejection and forgiveness and all these things, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that you strengthen her faith and open up her eyes to what the gospel says about healing. And when I told her she was very receptive, Lord, I just pray that you just have mercy on her and heal her very quickly, Lord, as she is in a lot of pain. And we just praise you and give you all the glory. I thank you so much for loving her and for taking care of her and for her being my friend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy on Valerie. Father, we thank you for showing yourself strong in her life so she can believe and she will believe, Lord. Just like you, when you healed me, Lord, and I didn't know if you did or not. And you did. And boy, and I tell you what, when I found out you could heal, Lord, everybody around me had to know it. So I just praise you for doing the same thing for Valerie, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon, go ahead.
Yeah, we've got some people that we've been trying to encourage to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know, they seem like they're kind of scared, or I don't know what's keeping them from it, but I'd just like to pray for them and have everyone agree with me.
All right.
Father, we just lift up Mardell and Blake and Jim to you. And we just come against any spirits of fear or any religious spirits that would try and keep them from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being water baptized, re-baptized with water. We just ask, Lord, that you put that desire in them, that they want to, that they feel like they're missing out on you by not being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and also put that desire in them to get rebaptized with water again, Lord. Just help them to realize that they're really missing out on part of God by not obeying your word. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in each one of them, and we're just believing they're going to have that desire and they're going to want to do it the next time we see them. We thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else?
Michael, if I may.
Yes, sir, Matthew.
I want to pray for my sister Annette. She came to my brother about half a year ago or more, and she said that she has terminal cancer. And so I learned of it, so I went over and talked with her, and I told her, and I discussed a few things with her, and she seemed to accept what I said, you know, because I thought she was dying. And apparently the whole thing was a lie, and a lot of my brothers and sisters all are really upset with her, and they don't talk to her anymore, and it's just a long family history. But you know, she's lied to me too, but I just forgiven her for it, and I still love her, and I'm still praying for her. So I'd like to pray for her to, for the Lord to open her eyes and draw her to Him.
All right, go right ahead, and we'll believe with you, Matthew.
Right. Well, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done in my life, Lord, and drawing me to you, Lord. I pray that you will do the same for my sister Annette, Lord, that you will open her eyes, Lord. You will draw her to you and help her to realize all the hurt she's caused to the family and division. And Lord, that that she will understand, and she will seek forgiveness from the family and apologize, Lord, and get on the right track, Lord. And I pray for her salvation, Lord, that you will bring her to you, and she'll be used mightily by you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her into the promised land. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? I'm going to ask that everyone check to make sure that your mute button is on your phone. And if you don't know how, let me know and I can mute you, and then you can get back on with **.
Yeah, you can go ahead and mute me, Michael.
Okay, Kurt. Thank you. All right, anyone else got a prayer request or would like to pray for somebody? All right, here comes the best part of the night. What about testimonies and praise reports? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report that would glorify God?
Yeah, I have a praise report.
Okay.
The lady we prayed for, I don't know, was a couple of weeks or maybe longer than that, I don't know. She had she's had breast cancer for 10 years, and she's been believing by faith. But the tumor or the growth started getting bigger, and she called this week and said that it's getting smaller and it's shriveling up and going away. So I just praise the Lord for that. And also, we've been praying for a little boy that had, locally here, that had, I don't know, he had low platelet, blood platelets or something, and they just couldn't get it straightened out, couldn't figure out why. And we got an email also that he's getting better and he's doing good. So we just praise the Lord for answering our prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? I got one. Let's see. Yesterday, I got in my truck and came home, came back to Arkansas for a visit. And I got over within about 50 miles of my house here, and the truck lost oil pressure. I had just filled up with gasoline and got me some Chester's fried chicken. And I had pulled out, gnawing on that chicken, and got out on the highway, and I kept hearing something, and I looked down, and I had the thing in second gear, and I put it back up into drive. And it straightened out, but then a little bit further down the road, I lost oil pressure. And I stopped the truck, and I called David, and we prayed for it. And so I started it back up. Oil pressure came up just a little bit. And I had just enough time to get off the highway and onto an off-ramp at a little town called Wheatley, Arkansas. And just so happens there was a mechanic's shop right there. And I asked the guy to come over and check it out. And he said it looks like that it may have a filter that was collapsed. The oil filter may have collapsed on it. So we got another oil filter and they put that on there. I started it up and, man, it good pressure. So I thanked him, paid him and thanked him and hit back on the road. And I got down about 10 or 15 miles, and I lost oil pressure again. I said, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? And I'm pulled off onto a rest area ramp that was closed. They had pylons in there, and I had to dodge those things as it went in there. But I wanted to get off that highway. Over here on I-40 in Arkansas, those truckers are bumper to bumper, it seems like. It seems like more of them across Arkansas than they are anywhere. But anyway, that's just it's probably just me. But and they don't slow down for anybody. Anyway, I got off the road, and I called my son-in-law, and I asked him to find me a trailer, bring it over here, and let's take this, or go get a car dolly or something, and come get me, and we'll just take this thing to a mechanic. And meanwhile, talk with David, and he said, you know, we can believe that. And he told me about his car. Something happened to it, and the Lord fixed it, you know. And, of course, I've had the same thing happen to me. So, anyway, my son-in-law called me back and said he couldn't find a trailer, and the dollies wouldn't work because they're too small for my truck. And he said, we'll just come pick you up. I said, no. I said, I'm just going to trust the Lord to get me home. And so I said, y'all just meet me at the house. They lived probably about 40, 50 miles from where I live. I said, on the other side, on the other way. Anyway, I said, all right, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to get me home. And then I'm not going to get stranded out here not one other time. And so I cranked that thing up. The oil pressure went up to normal, and I took off, and I drove all the way home. That needle would try to drop down, and I said, nope, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oil pressure, you get right back up there where you belong. And it would, and it'd start, the motor started clanging on me. I kind of feared it was a main bearing, but anyway, I went on and I'd rebuke that, and I made it all the way home. And so the next day, I took it to a mechanic friend of mine and took it over there. And he said, how in the world were you driving this thing? I said, well, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. I told him. And he's a denominational Christian, you know. And I said, well, it was the Lord that brought me here. He said, that thing should have seized up on you. He said, it's shot. The engine is shot. So I said, well, might be, but I'm going to drive it. Anyway, I drove it back home that day. And, of course, I had to talk with, you know, figure out how I was going to do this. Because it's going to take a new engine. Anyway, we got all that figured out. But the neat part about it was that God brought me 50 miles on a shot motor. That should have seized up, you know, when it first did that, but it didn't. Praise God. And I thank God for bringing me all the way home and getting me to the mechanic's shop. I'm just not there yet for him to do the overhauling part of it just yet, but I know at times that when there's nothing else available, that's what he'll do, you know, because we'll have to do, just like I had to rely on him to get me home. And if And the same thing is going to happen in the future, you know. I believe it was a trial. It was a test of my faith to see if I was going to believe that he could get me home or not. But anyway, he did. Praise God for that. And I thank you, Lord, for being with me and proving that your promises are true. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report?
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
I had a problem with my left knee from a surgery I had from a torn cartilage about 20 years ago. And it's never been too much of a problem, but I have to pop it before I bend it. If I'm going to kneel down to pray, I've got to just pop, bring it in all the way, and it'll pop, and then it's okay, and I can get up, and it's okay. Well, a couple of months ago, it started getting to where there was a pain running down in there, just a hot pain, what felt like it was in the bone. And it was getting to where I couldn't even be down on it like that, but a minute or so, and it started just really hurting. And we prayed, and Vanessa and I prayed about it and agreed in prayer. I can't remember just exactly how. I think that she prayed for me. Yeah, that's right. She just reminded me, because I had prayed different times, but one time she just, when we were having the Lord's Supper and getting in the Word on Sunday morning, and she prayed a few weeks back, and it just started just fading out over the next few days, I guess it was, and it is completely, that problem's completely gone with it. I still have to pop it, but I mean, there's no pain, and the surgeon just sort of messed up. The physical therapist was never able to get the swelling down all those years ago, and there were some things that he didn't even want to see me. The surgeon, I could tell, was real nervous about the job he had done, but anyway, God really took, I just thought, it sort of was scary to me, because it's like something really is wrong in my leg there, and it's just going to get worse, is the thought that was trying to come to me all the time. And so God just really reversed it, and I have no problem using it. So just praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're a whole lot better doctor than them doctors are, I guarantee you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
There's something else I'd just like to mention, too, about not my car, but we have a hill that's pretty steep going down into our subdivision, and when it snows, it's really something that, the fear of that tries to get to me. Going up it doesn't really scare me, but coming down is really a scary thing if it's just snowed, and there's supposed to be snow coming Thursday. where we are, but I just had a thought today. I thought, that's no different to drive down that hill in the snow than Jesus walking on the water. And that's not something, I don't know if I would, have the faith to do it quite yet, but I believe God was planting a seed in me about that, that we need to think that way, and those little thoughts sometimes help us to move in that direction. So
Amen. You ever hear that story about me and David taken out on a day it snowed?
Yes, that's one of the scariest.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was awesome.
Really scary to me, because we used to live up on a mountain, and I know how that can be in the snow when you have to go up or down, how really scary. And we had one where you could go over the edge, and and I had no experience once. It was pretty scary, but what you all did, I couldn't imagine. I wouldn't attempt, but really wanted to grow in my faith.
Amen. We just prayed. David prayed, and I believed with him that before we ever took off, that there was not going to be one dent put on that truck. We was going to get back safely, and we did. We had to do some God had to do some supernatural maneuverings there, and I think he did it more or less to show us that he could do anything, Went through a car, came up within about a couple of inches of going over the cliff. It was awesome.
Wow.
He can keep you. Awesome. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Hey, Judy.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Well, I got a testimony. I have a new roommate, Sue, and we've been living together for a couple months, and I think that's a great testimony because we're getting along really good. So thank you, Father, for that. But that really wasn't the testimony that I was going to give. But I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, I got two testimonies. The second one was I have some steps at my house, and my son came to visit, and he looked at those steps, and they're pretty steep, but, you know, they're not that bad. And he said, oh, Mother, you are going to fall down those steps. And he just kept saying it. And I said, Doug, just look what you're saying. I said, of course I'll fall if you keep saying that. I said, but I'm not going to receive that, and I'm not going to fall down those steps. Well, he was all worried that he wanted me to find a place that didn't have steps. So it just happened that there was a house for rent, and we got to go see it. And I kind of thought, well, everything was going along so good, you know, that maybe that was a house we were supposed to have, and he thought he really was for it, you know. And I thought, well, that could be. But then I was talking to Sue, and she wasn't quite sure. So I thought, I wonder why she's not quite sure. So we kind of just thought about it and prayed about it and stuff. And so I just asked the Lord, please just show me something. I need something to know if that house is the right house or not. Well, I couldn't get a hold of the lady. And then finally I did, and she said, well, the lady that owns the house, she said, well, I had to have a root canal, and her daughter was sick and stuff, so she couldn't get back to me. And she said, and well, the house really isn't for rent any right now because my cousin has to live there for 4 months or even longer, so it's just not going to be able to rent it. So I thought, okay, thank you, Lord, that's my answer. Guess the house isn't for us. So I thought that was kind of neat, the way he answered my prayer.
Amen. Yes, sir. He does it in all different kinds of ways, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And, oh, yes. I wanted to say, happy anniversary tomorrow.
Yeah. My wife and I have been married 44 years tomorrow.
Well, you haven't beaten me yet.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep, we were married 44 years ago tomorrow.
Well, when you get to 50, let me know.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope I'm in heaven by then. Well, close to it anyway. I'm hoping this tribulation to start here shortly, or the anointing and the revival would start. That's what I really want to see, is the revival started. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share tonight? Any comments on any words that the Lord has given you?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Gaino.
I was going to share some words that I've gotten, well, yesterday and today. I kind of thought they were kind of cool. The first one I got yesterday morning, I needed to read more to figure it out because the verse I put my finger on, it just had three names. It was from Nehemiah 10, verse 12. But I had to read some other verses, and then it showed that was, they were the Levites, and they had made an oath, they and some others, to walk with God. And this also was a part where, in that chapter, it was telling how there were some who rebelled and they were disobedient, but God did not abandon them, even though they would not listen to his prophets. Anyway, I wanted a verse that would tell me more, so I closed my Bible and I opened it again, and the next time I got Amos 3:12, and I really thought this went along with the message that David gave on Sunday. The verse 12 says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd rescueth out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be rescued that sit in Samaria in the corner of a couch and on the silken cushions of a bed. And when I got that, I'm thinking, oh boy, I wasn't really sure what it was telling me. And then as I was walking and praying this morning, the Lord just really kind of opened it up to me and was showing me that he was saying, you know, he rescues, there's some of those who are rebellious, he rescues them out of the mouth of the lion, and then two legs, and seeing that he was rescuing the legs, it would be their walk with him, or a piece of an ear, so that they could hear him. And I thought that was really kind of cool, because when I first got it, I didn't really understand the verse. And then today, the verse I got was in Psalm 144, and it also is about, you know, it's about people being rescued. And I would like to read just a few verses from that, because I thought that they all went together, really.
Go right ahead.
The Lord. Okay. And I'm starting with verse 1, and we'll read probably maybe 10 verses. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdueth my people under me. The Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? And this is the verse my finger was on, verse 4. Man is like unto vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. And then verse 5. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them. Send out thine arrows, and discomfit them. And that the word discomfort really got my attention, and it's like, well, what does that mean? I've heard of discomfort, but this was not comfort, it was discomfort. And I looked that up in Strong's, and it said to put in commotion or to crush or destroy, to trouble. Another word would be to destroy. The King James had the word destroy there instead of discomfort or discomfort. And when I looked it up in Webster's, it said to defend or to overthrow, to frustrate the plans that were expected. And I thought that was some things that may, you know, speak to things that have been going on. And verse 7, stretch forth thy hand from above, rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hands of aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Thou art he that giveth salvation unto kings, who rescueth David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaketh deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And then skipping down to the second part of verse 15, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And that was the part I wanted to read. I just thought it was encouraging. And it just speaks of his rescue to those who may have fallen away for a time, that he's not going to abandon them, that he will continue to draw them to himself, to rescue them. And anyway, I thought it was a really good word, and I thought it kind of went along with the message that David shared on Sunday. I guess that's all. Thank you.
Amen. That's what we're doing. We're praying for these people to come back.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord.
I just thought that was really a good word. And I thought the one that I got yesterday about, you know, that he's rescue out of the mouth of the lion, two legs and a piece of an ear. I mean, it just, at first that sounded really gruesome, but it's a loving way to retrieve those who are maybe in pieces or broken. So, anyway.
Amen. If I'm not mistaken, Gaynold, somebody in the morning prayer group got that same verse the other day. I'll have to check and see, but I think that's correct. I remember him talking about that, the ear and all of that stuff, and a lion and all that, you know. So I'll try to check and see about that. But, okay. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Okay. Thank you. Blessings okay. to you all.
Yeah, you too. All right. Anybody else get a word from the Lord?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Vanessa.
Yeah.
Barry's wife. This morning, actually, I was reading in John, where, John 11, and I was just reading along there. Actually, I didn't really know why I was reading that, but when I got to this part, it was just amazing to me, where Jesus said, this is verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And that just really spoke something to me. And then...
Amen.
Am I on there?
Yeah, you're on there. Go ahead.
Good. And then I was also reading in John 10. I just had it a second ago. Wait a minute. And verse 29. My Father who has given them unto me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Thank you, Father. And also, you know, Jesus was speaking about that being the good shepherd. But after he finished talking to them and everything at the end in verse 39, it said that they sought again to take him, and he went forth out of their hand. So I thought that was amazing that God, he holds us to where no one can take us out of our out of his hand, but then we can go forth out of anybody's hand and they won't be able to touch us.
Amen. That's good news, isn't it? That's real good news.
Yeah.
God's not going to get rid of us. Sometimes we walk out of his, you know, out of his hands, but he's never going to forsake us as long as we stand with him. Praise
yes.
God.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
That's cool how he gets, how he just walked out of there, wasn't it? We're going to see that. We're going to see that in the days ahead. Amen. All right. Anyone else? That's good. These are good verses because they're telling us, you know, that God's going to protect us. Not only that, those that have messed up, he's going to bring them back through our prayers. Praise God. Okay, somebody needs to mute their phone. All right, anyone else? Have a word from the Lord.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir.
This is Barry. When Gaynold was talking about this, about the, I forgot what the scripture was about the body parts being rescued out of the lion's mouth. I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 12 and just this idea about the members of the body. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And then verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And then verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And I don't remember just how the American Standard Version reads this. This is New American Standard. But, you know, I was thinking of an aspect of that of even though the body looks fragmented, he is in the process of constructing it just like he wants to, and it's going to end up being the full body just as he desired.
Amen. If one member is cut off, he puts another in its place, doesn't he?
Yes.
Praise God. Yeah, he's going to have a full body when it's all said and done.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good news. That's good news for me. And y'all too. Praise the Lord. Here's a little poem that I ran across the other day that I'd like to recite it to you. And it came from Edward Bounds. Anyway, it says, "Oh, that now I might decrease. Oh, that all I am might cease. Let me into nothing fall. Let my Lord to be all in all." That's awesome. That speaks volumes right there. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a word from the Lord?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I've been thinking a lot and meditating a lot on things that have been transpiring in the last couple of weeks. And I was reading in Acts the past couple of days. And I actually went back and I was in Acts 15. And it seems to be that the time in history is when the apostles were traveling around spreading the good news, and how they were Paul and Silas, and all the disciples were trying to spread the news, but they were being persecuted and they were being thrown in jail, and they were the brethren were praying, and the body seemed to be functioning really well, and they had a problem arise in Acts 15 where some of the believers thought that they were going one way and they thought they should be going another way, and they all got together and they obviously prayed and studied and shared together, and they worked together how they had been taught by Jesus, and they worked together to arrive at a solution that was from the Lord. In Acts 15:20, or starting in 19, it says, "Wherefore my judgment is that we trouble not them from among the Gentiles turn to God, but we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood." And then he goes on, and the apostles go out and they go take that letter that they had written, they go to the churches, and then the same thing is repeated in 15 verse 29. And I stopped and I went back over it and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, these guys are being persecuted and stoned and beat up and all around, and I started to think about those four things, and two of them are pretty simple and two of them were it took me a while to work through them, but abstain from pollution of idols is something that you and David both have really been preaching or teaching on, that we remove all the idols out of our life, which was simple, pretty easy for me to understand. And then it says, and from fornication. Well, that fornication would be illegal relations, rather spiritual or physical. It's what I arrived at. And then the part in verse 20 there, it says, and from what is strangled. And I stopped and I thought about that, and I was like, Lord, you got to help me with this. And if you strangle something, you cut off its breath or you cut off its spirit. And I thought, well, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. And then I kind of got hung up on the last one there, and from blood. And I got to thinking about, and I praise the Lord for the teachings that we get, the good unleavened teachings that we get. And I was thinking about that, and from blood. And I've about determined that that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us there, is that we abstain from the wrong life-giving spirit. Does that make sense? I mean, I've really been thinking about that over and over and over the past couple of days, and those are four serious items that we have to do in order to sanctify ourselves and serve the Lord. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it looks like to me, is stay away from that stuff, you know. That blood, like you just got through saying, that's the nature, the life nature of the world and the idols and all that kind of stuff. Yep, you're right on, brother. That God wants us to be holy, don't he? Spotless,
amen.
blemishless, and holy unto God, not unto the world. And that's, you know, it's awesome. That's really good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say it evidently is really important for us to grab a hold of, since it's mentioned twice in the same chapter.
Amen. Yep, I agree. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's interesting that you brought that up. I've been reading an old 16th century mystic. And I do that occasionally because, you know, you find that the same teachings that we have been fortunate enough to have come on to were going on all through, even through the Dark Ages, too. And there was, I was reading today, this afternoon, The Super Sensual Life by Jacob Beam. I guess that's how you pronounce his name. And he's a guy from, I think he was born in 1574 and died in 25 or something like it. I don't know. But anyway, The Super Sensual Life is a disciple that is talking to the master, or Jacob talking to Jesus. And one of the things he's asking here is, he says, "Master, how may I come to the super sensual life so that I may see God and hear God speak?" Now, listen to what he says here, because it's very interesting how he says it. The master answered and said, "When you can throw yourself into that where no creature dwells, if only for a moment, then you will hear God speak." And the disciple says, "Is that place where no creature dwells near at hand, or is it far off?" And the master says, "It is in you. And if you can, for a time, cease from all your own thinking and willing, then you will hear the unspeakable words of God." And the disciple says, "How can I hear him speak when I stand still from thinking and willing?" And the master explains. He says, "When you stand still from the thinking of self and the willing of self, when both your intellect and will are quiet and passive to the expressions of the eternal Word and Spirit, and when your soul is winged up and above that which is temporal, the outward senses and the imagination being locked up by holy abstraction, then the eternal hearing, seeing, and speaking will be revealed in you. And so God hears and sees through you, being now the organ of his Spirit. And so God speaks in you and whispers to your spirit, and your spirit hears his voice. Blessed are you, therefore, if you can stand still from self-thinking and self-willing and can stop the wheel of your imagination and senses. For thus you may arrive at length to see the great salvation of God being made capable of all manner of divine sensations and heavenly communications, since it is nothing but your own hearing and willing that hinder you, so that you do not see and hear God. Now, he said all of that, and what he's saying is this: if you can get out of yourself, get into that spiritual realm of just you and Jesus, then you can hear God. Get rid of self. Get rid of all the worldly things that flashes through our minds, and settle down into your closet with just you and Jesus. Then he can talk to you. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm telling you, he put it in a lot of $18 words here, and he had it in all kinds of ways. But if you look at it and simplify it, all he's saying is get self out of the way. Get world out of the way, and you can hear the Lord's voice speaking to you. Amen. Anybody got any comments on that?
Yeah, that's really good, Michael. I've really been pursuing the Lord in that way of, you know, being, I prayed that the Lord would make me aware of where my own thinking is coming in there and my own will, and just to really help me learn to be yielded to him at all times, you know, be in that place of just where I'm dead and I'm just listening to the Lord and walking with him every step of the way, and, you know, find myself just really desirous of that, and he's been helping me to do it. It's a daily walk, and I just find that he's making me more cognizant of that, more aware of, you know, when my own will has risen up or is rising up, because, you know, the battle is just sometimes just being in this body, just being in this life, and there's sometimes days there are just things we have to do, but yet even in the midst of that, the Lord will help us be cognizant of him, where he really begins to, like, where my finding my awareness of him even supersedes the busyness around me and that I'm in the midst of, and I just find so much more peace there, and I'm able to hear the Lord's voice even sometimes in the midst of busyness, doing things that need to be done, but yet not being clouded by that at the same time, if that makes sense. And so that's really good. I appreciate you sharing that.
Amen. There's a little more to it, and I'll share a little bit later. But has anybody else got anything they'd like to share that the Lord's showing you? Or do you want to comment on what we just talked about here? Getting in your closet and getting rid of self so that God can talk to you. I remember Tom Kruger talking about how after his accident, how, you know, the Lord took him up to heaven and showed him all that stuff. And after that, he could get in the spiritual realm real easy, real quick. But then he had to go and do, what do they call that when you... therapy, physical therapy. He had to do physical therapy, and he got out of the practice of getting in the spirit realm, and how that after that it took him a long time to get back into the spirit realm. But once he got back into it, you know, the next time it'd be a little bit easier, and then the next time it'd be a little bit easier, to where it would take him only about 2 hours, you know. Sometimes we stay in our prayer closet for 5 minutes and we think, God ain't talking today. Because we've got, you know, I've done it. I'll tell you, I sat in there, and I said, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to know you, Lord. And I'll sit in there for 15 or 20 minutes. Well, I don't guess God's talking to me today, you know, and get up and walk out without even giving God a chance, clearing my mind of all of these thoughts and things that, you know, that the world and the enemy puts in our mind, and just blocking all of that out, you know. I know all of you have done this at a time or two. I have, you know, and just blocked it all out and allowed the Lord to just minister to you. And when he does, it's an awesome time with him. But we ought to be doing that every day. And we ought to be getting into the practice of it. And I'll be the first to admit that I haven't been doing that like I should be. I want to, and I want to in a mighty way. And I believe that God's going to make that available to us here very shortly, if not already, you know. It's just up to us to want. How bad do I want to hear God's voice? Do I want to give up a few hours a day, maybe 2 days of just nothing but seeking the Lord, fasting and praying, seeking the Lord? Do I want to do that? Am I willing to do that? Would I do anything to hear from the Lord? That's what determines where you are in Christ. If that's the only thing that matters in your life, He'll do it. But He, you know, the Lord is a patient. He's full of grace and He's full of mercy. And He'll wait on us until we get to that point to where nothing else matters but God. And that's why I believe that the tribulation is coming to the church system in America and across the world. It has gotten so far away from God. You know, we think God is going to church, not saying y'all, but I'm talking about in general, the church, the denominational apostate church, thinks that we're getting close to God when we go on Sunday morning. And boy, we're really spiritual if we go on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But no, He's not looking for that. He's looking for a personal relationship. And that personal relationship is seeking Him with all your heart. And I want to pray for everybody and pray for myself too, that God would place that hunger and that desire in each one of us, Lord. Place that desire for You, Lord, in our hearts to where nothing else is more important than hearing from You, Lord. Hearing Your word, hearing your direction for that day. And for, you know, Lord, each day, I want to put a hunger in me, Lord, and everybody in this room to want to desire that close communicative relationship with You, Lord. And I thank You that You're going to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for placing a desire and a hunger for the Word of God in our hearts, Lord. That nothing else matters but hearing from You, Father. When we read these verses like Chris was talking about and Gaynor was talking about, that we would persevere and keep seeking You until You give us what You're wanting us to know, Father. Sometimes, Lord, it's been too many times that I have gotten a verse and not even meditated on it. Oh, that's what God's saying. When in fact it was something else entirely different. And after I had sought You, Lord, you showed the things that You wanted to show me, and it was completely 180 degrees away from what I thought. And Lord, place it in our hearts that it's very important that we do seek Your knowledge, Your wisdom, and Your understanding for our lives, Lord. Thank You, Father, because I believe You're going to do it, Lord. I believe You love us enough that You're going to do that in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, anybody else? How many of you want to hear God?
Amen. Amen.
Me too.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. I want to hear Him more than anything. Sometimes I allow... Matthew, why don't you go ahead? You got a mute button on that phone? I'm going to mute you. Sounds like he's in the car somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I want to hear God. I know all of y'all do. Y'all want to hear God as much as I do, if not more. I don't know if it could be more, because I sure want to hear Him. The times that I have heard Him, it's been a real blessing. First time I heard the Lord, and y'all have heard me say this a number of times, was when I was very young in the Lord. It was very young. I was very young in the Lord, and I was getting up in the morning, and I told the Lord that I loved Him, you know, and I was putting my blue jeans on. And as I was putting my blue jeans on, I heard behind my back, up behind my head, "I love you too, Michael." Just like that. I mean, it was, to me, it was audible, but I know it was in my spirit, but it was loud. Oh, it was loud. And I just fell back on the bed. I was in much amazement that God would speak to me, much less tell me that he loved me, you know. And that was awesome. That was the first time. And that's the one I remember the most. But there's been some other times that the Lord has spoken to us too. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Praise God. All right, anybody else got any experiences like that where God has just it's just like he audibly spoke to you and told you these things? I want God to tell me every day he loves me. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of times, us old boys, we need that reassurance every day, seems like. What about it, y'all? Help me out here now.
Yeah, hey,
Mike,
you first.
Oh, okay. Mine's really short. I had been married for about a year, and my husband and I wanted to have children, and it just didn't seem to be happening. And I actually prayed for a son, and all of a sudden I was in my car, and just the whole car was just filled just with the Spirit so thick, you could just feel it. It was so strong. And God just said, "Yes, you're going to have a son, and this is what he's going to look like." And he gave me a vision. And we don't have anybody in our family, and Jeff doesn't either, that has blonde hair, really blonde hair and blue eyes, but that's what God showed me. And my son Mitch, he's 26 now, and he still has really blonde hair. And I became pregnant just like right after God told me yes.
Awesome, awesome! God is he's so cool, isn't he? Praise God! Thank you, Lord. Whoo! That's awesome. Amen. Anybody else?
I'll share one, Michael.
Okay.
It's been quite a while. We was going to the Prophecy Club. It's been a long time ago, but it was when when we invaded Iraq, and the prophecies down there, you know, they were given prophecies about how the next time we went into Iraq that there's going to be, the body bags would be full and there'd be a lot of bloodshed. And then we did invade Iraq the second, again. And, it was just a short time and it looked like it was going to be over with. And I was just asking the Lord one day, we heard all these prophecies. Can we not believe those prophecies? Because, they were saying there's going to be a lot of bloodshed and a lot of body bags full, and here they ran through it in a couple of days and didn't seem like anything was really, nothing was happening. And I just heard immediately he said, "It's not over." And that really proved to be true.
Amen. Yep, they're still putting body bags out over there. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else get a word from the Lord like that? Okay, I'm just going to go ahead on with a little of this. I think you'll enjoy how the Lord talks to Jacob. he said, the disciple said, "With what shall I hear and see God, since he is above nature and creature?" And the master said, "When you're quiet and silent, then you are as God was before nature and creature." Did you hear what he said there? When you are quiet and silent, then you are as God was before nature and creature. You are what God then was. You are that from which he made your nature and creature. Then you hear and see with that by which God himself saw and heard in you, even before your own willing or your own seeing began. And the disciples said, well, what now hinders or keeps me back so that I cannot come to that wherewith God is to be seen and heard? And the Master says, your own willing, hearing, and seeing keeps you back from it and hinder you from coming to that super sensual state. And it's because you strive against that out of which you yourself are descended and derived that you separate yourself with your own willing from God's willing and with your own seeing from God's seeing. In your own seeing, you see in your own willing only. Did you get that? In your own seeing, when you're looking at yourself, you see in your own willing only. You only see what your will wants you to see. And with your own understanding, you understand in and according to your own willing, which is divided from the divine will. Your willing, moreover, stops your hearing and makes you deaf towards God through your own thinking upon terrestrial things and your attending to that which is outside you. And so it brings you into a ground where you are laid hold on and captivated in nature. That nature's the world. And having brought you here, it overshadows you with that which you will. It blinds you with your own chains. And it keeps you in your own dark prison, which you make for yourself, so that you cannot go out thence or come to that state which is supernatural and supersensual. But since I am in nature, the disciple says, and bound with my own chains and by my own natural will, be so kind as to tell me how I may come through nature into the supersensual and supernatural ground without destroying nature. I hope y'all are understanding this. I'm getting some revelations even as I read it again. The Master says three things are requisite in order to this. The first is you must surrender up your will to God and must sink yourself down to the dust in His mercy. The second is you must hate your own will and forbear from doing that to which your own will drives you. The third is you must bow your soul under the cross, heartily submitting yourself to it, that you may be able to bear the temptations of nature and creature. And if you do thus, God will speak unto you and will bring your surrendered will into Himself in the supernatural ground. And then you shall hear what the Lord speaks in you. And the disciple said, this is a hard saying, Master, for I must forsake the world and my life too if I should do thus. What, you know, all the teachings we've had with David has been, you know, forsake the world. Allow the Lord to take the world away from you. And that's essentially is what this whole message was about. It's the same teachings, but in a different light through Jacob Beam. Jacob Beam was a cobbler. He was a shoe cobbler. Very simple guy, and the Lord just dropped stuff into him. And he wrote all of these books and things about the mystical life of God, you know. That's what the way they kind of portrayed him. But it was all just teachings on the same thing that we're being taught through the scriptures, and that is to allow God to work that work in us. It's nothing that we can do. You know, we all have that self-will, and we have so much world in us when we first come to Christ, And then we learn that by faith, God takes these things away from us. And that's faith in Him that He's doing the work in us. And all we have to do is rest. And as we come to those places of knowing that, hey, man, what I've been doing is not right, repent and get back on the road, you know. Repent means just to change what you were doing and keep trusting God to believe that He's working that out in each one of us. David often quotes 2 Corinthians 3:18. He calls that the gospel. That's the real good news. That is, seeing yourself, seeing Jesus Christ in the mirror when you look in there. That's the face to seeing those things that are not as though they were, right? Seeing the end from the beginning. We see that Christ manifested in us. Then we'll start hearing from God. Then, when we get rid of self, we get rid of all nature, the world, the whole thing out of our sight. When we have surrendered completely our lives to the Lord at the cross. You can only do it at the cross. Surrender yourselves to the Lord. Submit yourself 100% to the Lord. This is what God has been showing me these past few months, is surrender yourself to the Lord. And how do you do that? It's the only way you can do it is through God and faith and believing that He's doing that work in you. It ain't nothing that I can do. It all has to, I have to rely on Christ to do that for me. And He's doing it. He's doing it in you and He's doing it in me, because we all have faith to believe that God's going to bring us along at His speed, not at the speed that we think God ought to bring it. A lot of times, I've noticed even in the local here, you know, people might say, well, I'm just not getting where I ought to be. Well, how do you know? Did you ask the Lord? Because the Lord brings you along as quick as He wants you to be. All we have to do is rest that He's doing that in us. And when we rest and start believing what the Word says you're holy, it says you walk holy, then you start walking holy. You start walking just like Jesus walked. You start doing the same things that Jesus done. And we do that by faith. Everything that this whole walk, of course, as you all know, you've been under David's teaching long enough to know that our true walk with God is all by faith and acting on that faith. How do we act out holiness? We speak it. You start speaking it. I'm holy. I'm just like Jesus. I look in that mirror and I see Jesus. I don't see Michael. I see Jesus grinning back at me. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking at Jesus out the door. And then I'm going to walk out there in the world, and I'm going to act just like Jesus. Sometimes we fail. That's okay. God realizes, we're not perfect yet. But He's making us perfect. We're going to be. He's going to give us that. If you want that hundredfold fruit, guess what? You're going to get that hundredfold fruit. It depends on you. It depends on me. We're going to bear fruit 100, 30, 60, or 29.5. 29.5 not going to get you in, but everything else will. 30, 60, and 100-fold. I want to get to that 100-fold fruit, and I know y'all do too. And that's why the Lord told us, is look in that mirror and see Jesus. If you look in there and you see yourself, you failed. You've already failed. You got to look in there and see Jesus. And you do it by faith. That doesn't mean look in a physical mirror. You can if you want to. I do. I look in that mirror right there beside my bedroom door. When I go out, look at there. There's Jesus. I'm going out, Jesus. Me and you, brother. Me and you. We're going to walk out here. Lord, you're going to teach me. You're going to direct my ways all day long. And if you believe that, He'll do it. He'll direct your ways. You tell him in the morning, he says, Lord, I want to run across somebody that you want me to tell them about you. Be looking for them because they're coming. I'm telling you, they'll do it. I had that happen to me the other day when that truck broke down on me. I said, Lord, this has got to be, I want to run me across. That morning I prayed, run me across somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. There was a mechanic. That mechanic there was a young man. He said, I don't know if this will fix it. I said, I tell you what, are you a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, well, I'm just going to believe that that filter, you're going to put that filter on, and it's going to take me all the way home. What do you think? He said, all right, go for it. So we prayed, and it did. So, you know, and that set up volumes to him. And when I got through and I cranked that thing up and the oil pressure came up there, he said, man, God answers prayer, don't he? I said, he sure does all the time. We just got to believe what he said. So that ministered to him, and I hope he remembers that for a long time to come. And he starts practicing that. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, you go out the door, you look in the mirror, and you say, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. Be not discouraged at this. If you forsake the world, then you come into that out of which the world is made. This is the Master talking. Listen to what he's saying. Be not discouraged at this. Remember what the disciple asked him. He said, this is a hard saying, Master. For I must forsake the world and my life too if I should do this. Here's what the Master told him. He said, don't be discouraged at this. If you forsake the world, then you come into that out of which the world is made. That's the Lord. And if you lose your life, then your life is in that. For whose sake you forsake it. Your life is in God, from which it came into the body. And as you come to have your own power, faint and weak and dying, the power of God will then work in you and through you. Oh, praise be to God. Praise the Lord. Whew! Man, I tell you what, I get fired up over this. He talks about, he says it in a nice, fancy way. It's all is just believing God, just getting rid of the world out of your life and allowing God to get the world out of you. That's all he's doing. He says it in a real fancy way, and I think it's kind of neat the way he does this and goes from each angle. And I don't know, it just blessed me. Anybody got any comments on that?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Andrew.
with him, you can do everything. Without him, nothing.
That's gospel in a nutshell, huh, Andrew? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Without God, you're lost. With God, you're one. You've won the race. You can stay with God the whole way. You know, the more God you get into, the less world you need, right? That's what I found. How many of you thought that you'd never quit watching TV and did? That's me. I don't even have a TV. I got one here in the house. My wife watches it, but that's okay. She's learning. I just sit in here and read the Bible or listen to some good word or listen to some great praise music. Praise God. All right, anybody else got any comments? I believe every one of us is going to walk like Jesus on this earth. When that anointing comes, we're striving to do all we can in Christ. God's going to anoint us to walk just like Jesus. That man child's going to come in. He's going to have some knowledge. He's going to have an anointing on him. Woo, glory be to God. It's going to be an awesome time in Jesus. If you're in Christ when this thing happens, it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. We're going to see things, man, we never thought possible. I tell you, it's going to be awesome. It, just like, who was it? Was that Gaynold? Somebody's talking about Jesus walked right through them, you know. But that's what's going to happen in the days ahead. People are going to be wanting to take your head off. But you're just going to walk right through them, and they won't even see you. You get invisible or whatever, you know. My imagination just go wild and stuff like that because I can see God's glory and everything now. I've seen God do some mighty good stuff, but boy, it's going to be even better here shortly. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, Michael?
Hey, go ahead.
All right. In connection with that, I've got a prayer request. if I could make a few comments too before it. There was a time when I, you know, talking about hearing from God, there was a time when I used to, it just seems like God just spoke to me, you know, prophetic, just like little one-line things that were powerful to me that helped me and gave me strength and direction. And years ago, and we've been in different groups over the years, not for really a long time now, but I think I got a distrust in me about hearing prophetic words, and it just seemed to shut down. And for years, you know, I had written down a lot of those statements and that seemed so powerful at the time, and I started questioning, you know, was God really saying that, or was that just this movement I was in that had some real problems, and you know, I thought I was hearing from God, and I wasn't. I just was taught to think like that, and I was just, it was my own mind, and so I got a real distrust that I could hear from God, and my walk has been good in other ways, and, you know, God's showed himself to me in a lot of ways, but in that way, it just, it's not like it used to be. And I think that I really need prayer to cleanse some things out of me that were from some of those influences, from some of the what really, now looking back, I see were faction groups that we were a part of. At the time, they just seemed like the move of God, and I know God was working through all those things, too. There were some powerful things, but yet how they came about was not really right, and it's taken me a long time to look back and see all that and to understand more. But Vanessa and I were talking recently that we wanted to get on this conference call and ask for prayers because of some groups we've been with in the past. And this has been, like I said, years ago, but we've been just separated for a long time now. But, you know, just, I don't know how to put it. I don't want to take too much time, but we moved here to Tennessee about 20 years ago, and I was sort of, didn't want to do it. And in my heart, you know, just, wasn't happy about it, but we just were forced to for financial reasons to move close to here to where our family could help us get established after me losing a good job and different things, and just trying to keep it brief. We had been involved with in churches where we moved several states away two different times, or three times, I think, because of other people that, and then it didn't turn out to be that, you know, it just fell apart. And I've said ever since we've been here for the last 20 years that I'm not going to move again unless God makes it really plain to me. And I've got a little bit of a fear that if God says, if and when God says, okay, move now, that I might be stubborn. And, you know, the thing about hearing from God and the thing, just the mistrust of ministries that I've sort of, or the just apprehension about things, you know, that, oh, this is just cultish, you know, this person just wants, I feel like I'm not communicating this very well, but I think hopefully you all can see what I'm saying. I think we've just picked up some attitudes and maybe still some spirits that are holding us back from these different little groups that we've been with. And so I would just appreciate, before we go sometime, some prayer, because we just want to be free so that we can hear from God, so that we're not holding back, and that we're not trying to attribute things of God to, well, this is just man, this is just someone wanting a fleshly kind of a following and don't do it or whatever. We just want to be sensitive to God and not be held back by our past is basically what I'm saying. So I would appreciate prayers for all that.
All right. That's, you know, Barry, I got caught up into that prophetic movement back in the late 90s and early 2000. And, of course, I was young in the Lord, too, and didn't understand quite a bit of that. I was fascinated that God would talk to us. But, you know, we all learn real quick that not everything comes from God. It comes from a so-called prophet. If they're not right with the Lord, you know, sometimes it can be deceiving. And we just, what I did, I just, okay, all right, I see what's going on here. And just started getting in the Word a lot more and getting into some good teaching. And, you know, and now we can, once you get in the Word and learn what the Word talks, you know, what the Word is and a little bit more about it, then those false prophetics come about and you can hear the Lord in it or you or not, you know. I don't know if I'm making, you can discern. Your discernment level comes up quite a bit. It looks like that's what's happening to you. I was very apprehensive as well after I figured out, you know, that, hey, this ain't all of God. And I was very careful as to who I listened to anymore. So let me pray, and we'll just cast out some things. In the name of Jesus right now, we cast out any kind of false prophetic spirits that have tried to attach themselves to Barry and Vanessa, and we command you to go in Jesus' name. Any self-righteousness, go right now in the name of Jesus. Any kind of religious spirit, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're going to open up the communication path for Barry and Vanessa to hear you clearly, Lord, and to know when you speak and to discern. We ask for more discernment for them and all of us, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus, that you give us more discernment to understand your word when it comes to us. And we thank you, Lord, that that's happening even as we speak right now. Filter out all of this old garbage that we've latched on to all these years, Lord, and let us know the pure, unadulterated word from you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that?
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, amen. I do too. Amen. I believe we're all going to hear clearer now. Praise God.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Oh, praise be to God. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, just something I might add. Like Barry was talking about if he was going to move or anything like that, that's a really big decision. It's always good to ask God for a sign. You know, you can think you're hearing him, but you really need to ask for a sign so you're sure, because he's faithful to do that.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. It took me, I knew that God was going to bring me here, Barry, to Tennessee. But I had to have a sure word, just like Marlon was talking about. I didn't want to get outside of his will. And I asked for confirmation, and I got it. It couldn't have been any more of a confirmation than if God had just stepped down and said, okay, that's what I told you to do. Now get yourself over there, you know. So I knew it was God. Man, you need, as close as you are, you need to come visit us.
Yeah, we want to. We keep talking about how to do it.
Well, we got plenty of room here, you know, and there's other people out there that's got room, too. You don't have to, you know, get you a motel. You don't have to do that. You can stay with us or stay with some other people.
I think we're going to work that out real soon here.
Yeah, well, just ask the Lord and come on. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else? You know, I'm just going to let you know something. There's an anointing in here now that I don't know if y'all can feel it or not, but there's an anointing. I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you. There's an anointing in here. When we get to talking about communicating with God, he wants us to be able to hear him. He really does. And I guess that's why we're talking about this tonight. That's what he wanted to talk about, is to listen for him. He wants to communicate to each and every one of us. where we can all hear him and discern and listen for his direction. Whew, man, I tell you, this is awesome. Has anybody got any words from the Lord that you want to talk about and glorify God with that's happened in the past?
Hey, Michael, can I ask you a question before you get into another word?
Yes, sir. I don't know if I can answer, but I shall try.
Well, I understand what Barry was saying, and I have never, I guess maybe I've been hesitant to ask the Lord for a sign. Are you asking, like Marlon was saying, do you ask for a specific sign, or do you, and it's just between you and the Lord, or how do you, that's something I've never experienced. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me, please?
Yeah, I forget what chapter in Sovereign God that it talks about getting words from the Lord, but it's one of those chapters in there. It talks about it. But the way I did it, I didn't want to miss God. And I knew the chances of what I asked him were slim to none had it happened the way I asked it. And I asked the Lord for a lot of, I took 5 coins and I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I know that if it turns up all heads, that this is what you want me to do. And if it turns up all tails, I'll know that I'm not to go right now. And I threw them out there, shook them up, threw them out there. Now, what's the chances of 5 coins showing up 5 heads? That's astronomical. It's astronomical. And for them to do it twice is really astronomical. And that's what happened. Now, I've also gotten words from the Lord that have been spot on for other things. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, give me a word that specifically says this or that, and the Lord will do it. He'll do it. And listen, here's something else, you know. It always amazes me how sometimes we want to twist the Lord a little bit and tweak him here and tweak him there. This was a friend that wanted to get out from under a house, and he asked the Lord, said, Lord, you want us to move in this other house? And he got 3 heads and a tails. Well, that's close enough, Lord. he was out. Listen, if I get anything other than what I ask for, I don't do nothing. I don't do anything until I get a positive answer from the Lord. 3 tails and a heads is not an answer. That's a no answer. you can't twist it any other way. I remember when I was getting ready to come here to Tennessee that I had... The couple of days before, I'd asked, Lord, do you want me to go to Tennessee in the next 3 or 4 days? And I got 3 heads and a tails, and I called David. I said, I got 3 heads and a tails. He said, well, you're 3/4 of the way here. So I said, well, thanks a lot, man. That was really heartening. But I had to have a sure word, a sure word. And that's the way I have been. If I leave Tennessee at all, it's because the Lord has agreed to allow me to be in His will to do it. When I come back to Arkansas, I don't do it unless I ask the Lord, and it has to be a sure, clear word. And we're in a time now where you have to have those clear, sure, confirming words if you're going to leave in an area that the Lord has you right now. It has to be a sure, clear word. That's what I think anyway. And I've always, since I've been here the last 4 years, I don't go anywhere without asking the Lord outside of this area that I live in Tennessee. And many other things, you know, we're all the time asking the Lord. And we don't act on anything unless we get a clear, sure word. All of these warnings that we've gotten have been from the Lord. And sometimes he'll want us to do something. Sometimes he'll want us to just wait and allow him to do it and believe that he's going to do it, which is a trial of our faith, you know. It's just awesome to watch how God has taught us over the last 4 years, 5 years for some of them, some even more than that, but how he has taught us through faith and through listening to the words and, excuse me, listening to the words that the Lord has spoken to us and believing them and how God fulfills them. These attacks he warns us about, and we've prayed against them. I don't know. I can't tell you how many attacks that we have thwarted of the enemies against UBM local and also UBM out in the outreach, that the Lord has thwarted the plans of the enemy and how he has exposed people after he had told us, you know, in his word. And just like the Michael Montana thing, we didn't have any clue about him at all. In fact, we were asking the Lord about him, you know. Lord, can we use him in the ministry? Not knowing anything about the man, you know, and that's why we ask the Lord, because he knows all. He has it all down, written down in the book. And David and I asked him, and I got two negative verses, and he got two negative verses. Now, what's this all about, you know? So that's when we started digging and finding out. We knew something was wrong. Didn't know exactly what, but we knew something was wrong. And David had reminded me about a couple, two, 3 years ago that we had asked about him before and gotten some negative verses about him. So, you know, God is faithful. He's going to keep you from all harm. And those who don't listen in this time we're in now, we're in this... I'm not going to say we're in the Ananias Sapphira times yet, but we're getting real close to that era of time to where if you lie to the Holy Spirit, you might be pulled out by the heels of your feet, you know. So it's, you know, it's a time where we're learning, but we're also applying what we learn in our everyday walk with the Lord. And if you've got some sins that you won't deal with, he's going to expose them. He's going to lay them out. And everybody in the fellowship's going to know about them. Because that's the God we serve. He's asked us, he said, if you'll repent of those things, take care of those things with me, you know, we'll do it in the dark. But if you won't, I'm going to lay them out in the night. Everybody in the whole world's going to know it, you know. And he's done that, and he showed us that. That should make us fear and tremble. This should make us fear and tremble before God. That's why I always like to go back occasionally and read about the Russian immigrants that left Russia and went to China. You know, every time they went to prayer meeting, they went with fear and trembling because the Lord would expose their sins in front of everybody if they didn't take care of them. And that's what he's doing here as well. So yeah, it's God's serious. He wants us walking in a holy life, and I praise God for it too, because that's what we all ought to want to walk, is in that holy life. And that's why when he has that holiness in a fellowship, he's knitting our hearts together, as Kurt shared with that dream, vision he had 4 years ago of a golden thread knitting through our hearts. And I can envision that also with him pulling it tight. He's pulling us together in love. With that golden thread of love, he's pulling every one of us together into that one accord. And then that mighty wind of the Holy Spirit's going to fly through here. And with the winds of revival, that spark's going to roar. It's going to be like a fire going through the roof of Azusa Street. Those times that they had the fires there coming out of the roof of Azusa Street, and fire coming down from heaven, meeting the fire on the top of the building, and the fire department coming down there trying to want to put out a fire. And there was no fire. Praise God. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that fire of God to sweep through this fellowship with revival and just a mighty move of the Spirit that starts out anywhere He wants to start out and go across this world to all of His people. It's going to happen. You're going to see it. Be ready for it, because it's going to happen, praise God. That's the only reason I want to be here. I want to see that fire revival go through here and get the people that you've been praying for all these many years. Whew, praise God. Let's communicate with the Lord. Father, I just thank You for that spark of revival that's going to go through Your people, Lord, and put a urgency in their heart to speak the word of God to the people, the lost people of the world. And those signs and wonders are going to follow Your people, Lord, in a mighty way. And people are going to flock to Your people, Lord, just like a moth to light. And I thank You, Father, that You're going to speak to us and show us where to go and what to do and what to say. And then after that, Your signs and Your wonders are going to fall down and bless the people. Just like Jesus' time. Lord, You said that we're going to do the same things You did. More, You said, we're going to do than You did. I'm looking for that time, Lord. I'm looking for the time that we do the same things You did. Much less more things. But praise God, I know Your word's true. And we're looking for that revival. We're looking for those signs and wonders, Father. Let it flow through every one of us. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen and amen. How many of you want to see revival? Man, I can get excited about that.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I want to see that so much. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to add?
Yeah, Michael, I'm just going to share something I've seen people with a sign, you know, saying they got a sign from the Lord, the thing will already happen, and they'll say, well, I took that as a sign, and after a while it proves out they didn't hear from the Lord. They didn't set that up ahead of time so that if it happened, then they could say that was a sign from the Lord, but it already happened, and they said, yeah, I took that as a sign. And I've just seen that really lead people down really a bad path.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing, Marlon. It's sad, but people take advantage of that kind of thing. And I don't know. I just let the Lord handle it. All that stuff. Excuse me. Praise God. We know He's got a sure word, don't we? And if it don't line up with the word of God, don't listen to it. Praise God. Going to be raptured. How many times have I seen somebody going to heaven that the Lord told them He's going to rapture them out of there? That's a false dream. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share about the Lord and the goodness that He's shown every one of us?
Michael, I've got a scripture.
Okay.
Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that came down upon the skirt of his garments, like the dew of Hermon that cometh down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Jehovah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, Lord. You know, God wants everybody, He wants all His people not to have an agenda other than Him. Don't seek a title. Don't seek anything but the Lord. Don't have any ambition other than you just want to love the Lord and the Lord to love you. That's all He wants. He doesn't need ambitious people. He always chose the meek and the humble and the ones that, Moses is the humblest man, you know. There were others, you know. David had a heart like, you know, after the Lord. had a heart after the Lord. Many of the leadership that you saw in the olden times were meek and humble people. Peter had to be humbled, and once he was humbled, he made a great leader. Paul, same way. Saul was a good leader. He was one of the up-and-coming evangelists of the Pharisees, you know, till the Lord struck him down, humbled him, took his eyesight away from him, talked to him like he was a stepchild, you know, pulled him in and said, man, I need to use you. You need to straighten yourself up. And he did. And he went after the Lord in a mighty way. He went after the Lord so much so that the other disciples were amazed. They said, man, I can't understand half what Paul said. And of course, Paul was very spiritual. And everything he talked about was spiritual, you know, about the Lord. The Lord showed him a lot of good stuff. He put the Old Testament with the new with the Lord Jesus in that realm, and it just made things real spiritual for the other disciples. They were just in wonderment at the knowledge that he had. And they're in the wonderment with the knowledge that we're going, you know, we're getting now these revelations that the Lord has given David and others as well. David's not the only one that's getting these. I'm not, you know, he's gotten a lot, man. He has taught me so much over the last few years. But I've looked through history in the last couple of years, and I found out that there have been other David Ills, you know, throughout history that the Lord had opened up the Word of God to him. It might not be in the same realm, but he'd opened up the Word of God to them, and they understood the spiritual aspects of the Old Testament. It's just awesome to go back and see. Well, you know, this God's doing the same thing. He's done it throughout history. He gave Martin Luther a little bit of knowledge, you know, a little bit more knowledge, and Wycliffe and all of those old guys, they had some knowledge, but there were some that had the same type of knowledge that we're getting today, back way back when. And it's really awesome to run across them. Jacob Beam was one of them. He had some spiritual knowledge. Another one was Joseph Salmon. These were men that had a lot of spiritual knowledge of the Word of God. And it's because God gave it to them, because they had surrendered themselves to the Lord, and they were running after the Lord with all their heart. That was the main thing that I saw. When they're doing the same thing that he gives it to? Those that hunger for the Lord is the ones he gives that to. He has given that to in the past. And it has to be the Lord that does it anyway. You know, he placed that stuff in David. David said, I hated school. He said, but when I started reading that Bible, it was supernatural. He said, God just placed it in my heart to read the Bible day and night. He had to put his pot up and his all his little toys that he had that he was working on, you know, because he wasn't interested in nothing but learning and reading the Word of God. And that was a God thing. And that's why we need to pray that God puts that in us too, if you don't have it, you know. Okay, has anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about a little bit here? I know I've talked a little bit too much tonight, and I just get excited when we talk about the Lord, though, don't y'all? I just love to talk about what the Lord's doing and what he's going to do, and what he's doing right now in our lives, what he's doing in our families' lives. You know, we're seeing unsaved spouses even here or over in Tennessee, unsaved spouses that are, man, they're getting interested in what God's doing, and it's awesome. It's really awesome. God's answered prayers. Praise God. Cheryl, how are you doing? I hope you don't mind me asking that.
I'm blessed, and I'm being blessed by everything you are saying. The Lord's been showing me a lot of the same things that y'all have spoken about, and just trying to break down the stronghold walls, breaking down the walls of Jericho so that I can, you know, get rid of the wrong things that I've, you know, thought and believed, and even the lies that Satan has, you know, had me bound in all these years, thinking that, you know, that I'm not worthy and I'm not able to come into the fruit of Jesus. And I've just cast down all those lies, and because I've seen that the Lord has blessed my children and my family members and even myself with, you know, understanding the word more. So I'm just going to continue fighting and casting down his seed and just holding fast to the word of God. So.
Amen.
For the unity of the brethren, because it's very sad to see people, you know, because I've been through a lot of deception in my walk, and how, you know, the Lord even brought me to let the beast overcome me. And I just praise the Lord that he brought me back and to the truth. And it's really a fearful thing, because you can totally forget everything that you've learned, and you're just so blinded. And it's a really scary place to be, because looking back, I was just headed straight for hell and didn't know it and thought I was okay. And I just praise the Lord for his mercy and his grace, for humbling me.
Amen. Well, we've all been there. Praise God. Or at least I have. I've been there. There and back. Praise God. Like you said, Cheryl, there and back. But God. I heard a sermon one time called, But God. You know, we fail. But God picked us up. Put us back on that road. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? We're running out of a little time here, but we got plenty of time. If somebody wants to praise the Lord, we're gonna have a praise and worship night one night. And we're gonna. I know y'all don't want to hear me sing, but I know some of y'all can sing real good. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Michael, that's what she's talking about. You know, Maureen and I talk about that quite a bit. Not quite a bit now, but, you know, our past and coming out of really apostasy. And I think, you know, as we go along, we'll get glimpses that shows how the Lord will show us how much deeper it was than we realized it was. And that's kind of a ongoing thing in ways. You know, I gave up on the church and then I found myself back into it again. Same thing. But after a while, we learned some things. I'll just say it that way.
Amen. Well, you know, that's interesting, Don, because he did the same thing to me. He told me to get out of the churches, and then he put me back into it. And then he told me, he said, now I want you to go over here to this Baptist church. I said, a Baptist church? And he put me in there for a season, you know, to teach faith to the people. People were hungry for faith. They were hungry for faith. And they saw many miracles in that church, too. Saw a lady healed of terminal cancer. Another young man had been in a wreck, had a broken back. I didn't expect him to walk anymore. And we prayed for him. That wasn't an immediate healing, but it was about 6 weeks later he finally came up out of that wheelchair. But he was believing God the whole time. So, yeah. Sometimes he has us going back into those old haunts, so to speak, to get some other people and give them a little truth. Amen. All right, anyone else want to share what the Lord's done? Look what the Lord has done. We sing that quite often, don't we, Don?
Yeah, we do.
Yep, that's a good one.
That's, Merlene talks about that. That's one of her favorite songs. It's when she get her and Judy don't get out there and start stomping.
Stomping her little old feet. Stamping her feet down. Amen.
Yeah, they're both under 5 feet.
Yeah. Tiny women.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yep, that's a good song. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. Well, I better stop. I'll be running everybody off here directly. Praise God. We do like to sing that song a lot, though. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add before we get out of here? Well, okay. Father, it's been an awesome time with you tonight, Lord. Just thinking about those, the times that are coming, Lord. The times that we're going to see your mighty works throughout this land, Lord. It's just so awesome to think about and to talk about, Lord, because we know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. Your word says it's going to happen. If your word says it, it's going to happen. And I just thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father, for all of that. Thank you, Lord, for saving all of our children and our spouses and everybody that we've been praying for so for these many years, Lord. We thank you for bringing them into that great, real good news knowledge, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing that hunger to come running after you, Lord, like the Shulamite bride did. In a mighty way, Lord, so that we can be pleasing to you all during our walk down here, Lord. That's what I want. I just want to be pleasing to you and let you know that I want to be in your will. And I know everybody in here wants to be in your perfect will, Lord. And I thank you for bringing us all into that. Lord, be with us the next few days. Guard our lips. Set a watch before our lips. Guard our thoughts. Show us how to help us to cast down these vain imaginations that the self and the world wants to throw at us all the time. And that we would focus on you, Lord, and what your word says. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to do that. Protect us in the days ahead. Provide for us, Lord. We know you're going to do that. You said you was going to. And we praise you, Lord, that you're going to do it. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're all going to have a good night's sleep. And Lord, give us more visions and more dreams about the things that are coming. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, anoint David to keep on giving your word out, what you want to give, Lord. And everybody in here, anoint them with the words that you want given out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. We love you. We'll see you Thursday, God willing.